This is The Guardian. Regid Ahmed here on Gadigal Land with a full story.
I do hereby declare that Andy Burnham is duly elected. Thank you.
Just days ago, few people outside the UK would have heard of Andy Burnham. But now, after winning a local by-election, he's expected to be the next British Prime Minister.
Here's a chance now, from this result tonight, to build a new politics based on unity and hope, turning away from the path that takes us to a divided, dark politics of the kind we see in the United States.
Keir Starmer's deep unpopularity, as well as big wins in local elections for Nigel Farage's hard-right Reform Party, has driven Labour to look for an alternative. Enter the long-time Manchester mayor and man of the people, known as the King of the North.
We must now take this path and put this country back on the right path and bring people back together and get things working properly again. Thank you very much indeed, everybody.
Today, North of England editor Josh Halliday on whether Andy Burnham is really the saviour British Labour is looking for.
In a world of need, we need medical care. Without delay.
Delay.
Without bias. Without bureaucracy. Without prejudice. Without violence.
Civilians are not expendable.
Without apathy. Without division.
Division.
That's why we need Doctors Without Borders. Save lives at msf.org.au.
Hi, Josh. Welcome to Full Story.
Thanks very much for having me.
We're speaking to you very early on a Monday morning. It could be a very big day today.
Yeah, it's looking like another big day in British politics. We've been here a lot in the last 4 years. I think the entire British media is waiting for what's known as the lectern moment, when that famous lectern appears outside Downing Street and the Prime Minister announces that they plan to resign. That could happen. We're talking at 7 o'clock in the morning UK time. I mean, we're expecting that. If it happens, could be in the next 2-3 hours. So very significant moment.
He might set out a timeline, Keir Starmer, for going. We're not quite sure yet. It hasn't happened. But let's put Keir Starmer aside for the moment, because the man who appears to be the front runner, many people in Labour think and are pinning their hopes on who might be the next PM. And that man is Andy Burnham. A lot of people outside of England and the UK may not have heard of him. So just tell us who he is.
Well, Andy Burnham first became an MP 25 years ago. He was an MP for a constituency called Lee in the northwest of England near Manchester. He served as a minister under Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, and then slowly became disillusioned with Westminster and the way that Britain is governed. So 9 years ago, he decided to leave Parliament and run for this newly created job in Greater Manchester, which is the mayor of Greater Manchester. That's the job that he's had for the last 9 years. And since he's been out of Westminster, he's kind of created what he calls this new way of doing politics that's about place, not politics, working with different parties, working with business in order to, you know, get the best for Greater Manchester in this particular area.
He has tried to be leader of the Labour Party in the past and has failed. But now he's kind of known as the King of the North and a bit of a rock star politician. Can you explain what's behind that?
Yeah, this King of the North thing stems back to the COVID pandemic. Boris Johnson, the then Prime Minister, was imposing lockdowns, regional lockdowns on particular parts of the UK. There came a moment during the pandemic where Andy Burnham was just so fed up with the way that these lockdowns were being handled that he gave this impromptu press conference outside his offices in central Manchester and told the Prime Minister he would not accept any more lockdowns without consultation. And you know, it was seen as a real striking moment of a sort of changing relationship between the government in Westminster and the way politicians outside the UK were supposed to just accept what Westminster said and what Westminster decided.
So taking a bit of power away from London, basically.
That's right, yeah. He was seen as speaking not just for Greater Manchester, which was his job, but speaking for much of the country, because at that point, millions of people across England were completely fed up with these rolling lockdowns. They had lost confidence in the government to be able to handle this pandemic. This kind of propelled him to a new level of political stardom, if you like.
And you've covered North of England politics for a really long time. What's he like as a person?
As a person, he's very chummy. You know, he'll sort of call you mate and he'll reply to your texts most of the time. Through lockdown, we almost had a kind of hotline to Andy Burnham, who's grappling with these big decisions. I mean, Andy Burnham has always said that regional leaders should have a seat at the top tier in government. And he was very annoyed that he wasn't invited to the government's, they're called Cobra meetings, where they, you know, decide on the big decisions for the country. And so he was using the media as a form of, you know, getting his message across to the government. And so, you know, lots of us were texting him, calling him every single day. He was, you know, he was very responsive in that regard. He's seen as a politician that is more in touch with working people than perhaps any other. You know, he's incredibly popular. And I think a large part of that is because he's not tarnished with the chaos that enveloped British politics, particularly governments, over the last 9 or 10 years.
I saw how much coverage it got when, after he won the by-election, he said, "I'm just going to go have a beer." That felt like a sense that this is an ordinary person.
Yeah, that's not staged. That is Andy Burnham. He's got a very tight-knit family. He's quite a private person. Not much is known about his family and children. He doesn't speak much about them. Obviously, all that's going to have to change if he becomes Prime Minister. You know, he likes his football. He's got a season ticket at Everton Football Club. You know, he goes out running every morning. You know, he's quite an ordinary person for, you know, someone who is the most popular politician of any in the UK at the minute.
You've given us a sense now of who Andy Burnham is. What makes so many in the Labour Party think he is better to lead National Labour, to lead as Prime Minister, than Keir Starmer?
Well, I think a lot of Labour MPs have been looking at the national rise of Nigel Farage's Reform UK over the past year or two, and they're increasingly worried about their seats, their constituencies, keeping their jobs at the next general election, which has to be held before summer 2028. And they've calculated that Andy Burnham is the only person, the only Labour MP, will be able to beat Reform in a national election. Andy Burnham has never hid his leadership ambitions. As you say, he ran twice unsuccessfully for the Labour leadership, and he's given it a third shot in Makerfield, part of Greater Manchester, that many people in the UK weren't familiar with before the last few weeks. This Makerfield by-election was really seen as a test case for whether Andy Burnham, or indeed Labour, could beat Reform in a general election.
Could that really be said? Because there was this sense that a lot of people voted for Andy Burnham because they didn't like Keir Starmer. So can those by-election results actually translate nationally?
Well, it was a unique by-election. You know, Andy Burnham benefited from getting both the anti-Starmer vote and the anti-Farage vote. And it was in a part of the country where he's very, very popular. But that said, this constituency was on paper a landslide Reform victory. You know, just a few weeks ago in May, many people across that constituency voted for Reform in huge numbers.
Right.
If Reform were up against any other Labour candidate, they would have walked it, and this would have been Reform electing another MP. But the question is, can that by-election victory be translated to the rest of the country?
There are some other issues too. I saw some commentary from the south of England where some people were saying, never heard of Andy Burnham. So he might be the king of the north, but how big a figure is he across all of the UK?
It is quite difficult to tell how big he is. I mean, certainly the COVID pandemic increased his profile hugely. And national polls successively show that he is the most popular Labour politician in the country. I think what will happen during the by-election and since the by-election over the coming weeks is that he's not going to be off the, you know, the television news. So everyone will have heard of Andy Burnham in the coming weeks. He's going to have to kind of show who he is, what he's about, what he believes. It's much easier to do that if you're, you know, the mayor of Greater Manchester and you're speaking up on a particular issue. You can give a bit of that sense of who you are and what you care about. It's much more difficult to do that if you're just an MP for one particular constituency. But of course he isn't that. He's the leader in waiting now.
One of the big key issues I've heard about is that Andy Burnham hasn't set out any national policies. We don't actually know how he intends to do anything differently and fix the real problems that the UK is facing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, he fought this by-election trying to speak to people, the voters of Makerfield, and tell them what he was going to do for their area. But at the same time, he was being asked by the media to set out a manifesto for government. And so some policy agenda has kind of trickled out over the last few weeks, such as taking key industries like water and energy back into some form of public ownership. We don't exactly know what that would be yet. He's not spoken much about foreign policy.
Mm.
He's never had to. You know, in his kind of 25 years in frontline politics, foreign policy has never been in his in-tray. It's not been one of the things he has to deal with. And obviously in this world that we're dealing with, things that happen in the UK are completely dominated by what happens in the wider world.
So how quickly will there be an expectation for Andy Burnham to now say, these are my policies, this is what I'm going to do?
Well, immediately. There's no time for hanging around now. This is Andy Burnham's won the by-election. He's taken the weekend to give Keir Starmer space to decide when Keir Starmer decides to exit number 10. And as of today, this is the time for Andy Burnham to set out to the country how he would change things. He comes in with huge expectations and big, big promises about reducing the cost of living pressures for people in this country. But there are huge decisions to be made and trade-offs inside government economically. There aren't any quick fixes. And so I think he's going to have to really try convince not just the population, but also the economic markets that he can alleviate some of the pressures that people are facing financially while also not spooking the bond markets, if you like, and making sure that his government looks like one of sound fiscal government.
We'll be right back.
In a world of need, we need medical care. Without delay.
Delays.
Without bias. Without bureaucracy. Without prejudice. Without violence.
Civilians are not expendable.
Without apathy, without division. That's why we need Doctors Without Borders. Save lives at msf.org.au.
Full Story is supported by EY Parthenon. EY Parthenon is the global strategy consulting practice of EY, working with CEOs, boards, investors, and governments on their most critical decisions. They bring deep sector expertise, an investor mindset, and advanced technology to bring clarity to complex challenges. EY Parthenon helps leaders make better decisions in moments of change, anticipating what's next, finding opportunity in uncertainty, and translating complex shifts into real-world outcomes, turning insight into action. For more insights, go to ey.com/au/Parthenon. EY Parthenon, transformative strategy and transactions. Solutions that work in practice, not just on paper.